Good morning. It's a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, David. Sorry to say I'm on a cell phone, but I have to say it's going to be quite a day in reaction to what happened yesterday. I mean, here is Hope Hicks, who now is a liar. She says that she's told white lies, she told the committee. Now, the one thing we've said on this air so many times is you don't lie to the FBI. So who did she tell white lies to? So now she's out. Look, the wish is here. It's becoming more and more evident that everybody is deserting the ship. I mean, this guy has been President Trump for 1 year, a little over 1 year. And now look at all the people who have disappeared. His judgment and who he picks, how he retains them, and how willing they are to stay on is just extraordinarily tough on the reputation of Trump and his administration. This doesn't mean by any means that he's done, but what it does mean is that Mueller is obviously gathering more and more and more strength as he goes about silently building a case that some real wrongdoing is here, and it doesn't stop there. Now, David, we have Jared Kushner in a position in which this guy is now going around doing business while he was in the White House and getting loans from some very big people. Is this the quid pro quo which the Supreme Court demands in the McDonald decision? I don't know. But if it is, and it's looking to me like it is, well, that's one more real close ally for the president, because obviously this is a guy who really is very close. Does he want to spend years in jail? I don't know, but I can tell you this much. He's been called in, he's been questioned, and we'll see what happens.
Meanwhile, the president backing the U.S. Senate proposal to expand background checks on gun sales, a part of a call for a sweeping overhaul of U.S. gun policy in the wake of the Florida school shooting, shocking many Republicans in the room.
David, he took one look at the situation. He said, uh-oh, this is really bad, and I have to say something. Now, with this guy, there is a big difference between saying something and doing it. We have seen over and over and over again that what he does is to say he's for something like DACA and that to pull the rug out of people and his congressional people when they come up with a compromise. And I think that's what's happening here. We don't have the slightest idea if he means it. We do know that the people who were sitting around that table with him were kind of shocked. And we're talking about his congressional leadership on both sides. But that doesn't mean he means it. It just means he said it. And that's the big difference with Donald Trump.
Well, and what about, as you said, much pressure now, the president reading the tea leaves on this, but we're hearing of yesterday first Dick's Sporting Goods and now Walmart taking steps to limit their sale of firearms.
Well, David, you have to put yourself into that boardroom and say that the American people now are speaking in polls. They're speaking in letters to president of these companies, Dick's and Walmart, and they are saying, cut it out. You're killing our kids. Not only that, but you see the millennials coming up. You see the people who are strongest on this gun control stuff. They're going to be the voters in the future. And they are certainly the people who are going to be purchasing materials and other things in those very stores. So now we'll have to see what happens. But I'm saying I think this is just the vanguard and just the beginning of what's going to happen.
Today at 1 o'clock, your interview with the head of AFL-CIO in New York, as well as the New York State United Teachers Union on the Janus labor case before the Supreme Court. It has implications certainly in New York, but all around the country.
David, that's right. This is a war on the union movement in the United States. It means that if the court does what I expect them to do, is just to say, you know, you don't have to pay union dues in an agency shop where they are negotiating for you. There is, to me, a real question as to whether the unions can survive as we know them, and they know it. In this interview today, you'll hear the desperation, and you'll hear why two of the top labor leaders in New York are so frightened by this. It is a moment of real trepidation for them. And it's pretty clear what the appointment of Neil Gorsuch is going to mean when he votes on the anti-labor side of this.